Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with the president of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff. Our mission is to equip you with answers to share the hope that you have within you, because life and truth matter. Why? Because being armed with truth will equip you to counter the corrosive worldviews at work in our world today, while experiencing the authentic Christian life will make you a winsome witness of the purpose of life, which is to experience union with God and Christ, both for today and for all eternity. For more information about CRI and the Bible Answer Man broadcast, our phone number is 888-7000-CRI. You can find us online at equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. As always, it is great to be in studio as we answer your questions throughout the United States and Canada. You can contact us in various ways on the web at equip.org, via the mail at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, and through our resource consultants at 888-7000 and the letters CRI. A lot of people hanging on. We'll go right to our phone callers. First up today is Kathy, Salt Lake City, Utah. Hi, Kathy.
Hi, Hank. Thanks for taking my call.
My pleasure.
On another program, I heard you talk in depth about Jesus' words about the end times and also about Revelation. I thought what you had to say made a lot of sense, but I also came away being really confused. So I guess my question is, do we have to wait for a second coming, or when we die, we go straight to be with Christ? What happens?
Well, what happens when you die, you're absent from the body, present with the Lord. So at death, there's a natural rending between body and soul. The body is buried. The soul goes to be with the Lord, if you are a believer. What happens when Jesus comes a second time, or appears a second time, as the writer of Hebrews puts it, at that time, those who have died in Christ are resurrected immortal, imperishable, incorruptible. And that's why Paul says we do not grieve at like the rest of men who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him, that we will literally be raised when Jesus returns at the last trump, at the loud command of the archangel, at the trumpet call of God. When that takes place, the bodies in graves will arise immortal, imperishable, incorruptible, will be changed in a moment in a twinkling of an eye. So the body and the soul will be reunited and will be what we were always intended to be. We'll be real physical human beings living in a real physical universe with a real physically resurrected Christ.
But as far as you're concerned, our scriptures do not give us any indication of when that event may take place.
Well, they don't. They give us no indication of that whatsoever. They do tell us that that will happen. In fact, if you look at Revelation chapter 21, you hear a loud voice from the throne saying, "Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He'll wipe every tear from their eyes. There'll be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." And then we have the assurance that he who was seated on the throne is saying, "I'm making everything new," and that these words are trustworthy and true. So we can absolutely depend on the fact that Jesus will return a second time, and when he does, he will put all things to right. The dead will be raised, the problem of sin and Satan will be fully and finally resolved, and this universe that now groans in travail will be liberated from its bondage to decay. All of that we can believe with certainty because the Bible clearly and emphatically teaches it, and we can demonstrate that the Bible's divine as opposed to merely human in origin.
So there's no way then that the second coming, I always wondered if the second coming wasn't just when we died and that's when we saw him again, and that was like the second coming.
No, Jesus Christ will appear a second time. And that is a yet future event that is not dependent on when we die. It depends on when he returns to bring a resolution to all things.
Okay, that clears up a lot for me. Thanks a lot.
You got it. Beatrice is next, listening in Bakersfield, California. Hi, Beatrice.
Oh, it's such a pleasure. I'm just so happy that you took my call. Thank you. I just started listening to you, and I had a question on the Sabbath because I've gone to the Seventh-day Adventist off and on, and I wanted to know, what did you think about the Sabbath being the day to worship?
Well, it's not. We worship on the first day of the week in remembrance of the resurrection. This is precisely what the early Christian church did. They changed the day of worship from Saturday to Sunday. And within weeks, thousands of Jews willingly gave up a theological tradition that had given them their national identity. God himself had provided the early Christian church with a new pattern of worship through Christ's resurrection on the first day of the week, not to mention the fact that the Holy Spirit's descent came on Pentecost Sunday. But this is something that you always see in Scripture. You see a pattern, but that pattern has a different emphasis. For example, in Genesis, the Sabbath was a celebration of God's work in creation. After the Exodus, the Sabbath was a celebration of God's deliverance from oppression in Egypt. And as a result of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the emphasis of the Sabbath was on the celebration of rest we have through Christ who delivers us from sin in the grave. And therefore, for the emerging Christian church, the most dangerous snare was a failure to recognize that Jesus was the substance that fulfilled the symbol of the Sabbath. And therefore, we do not have to be slavishly bound to Sabbatarian laws. The Sabbatarian laws themselves tell us that if anyone does any work on the Sabbath, they have to be put to death. But Paul explains that Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. And therefore, the shadow has given birth to a reality, and that reality is found in Jesus Christ. And that's why we celebrate resurrection every single Sunday, because we have our rest in Jesus Christ, who fulfills all the mandate of the law.
Okay, now, I'm slow to understand, so you have to speak more simpler for me, because you say that what I thought you said was that it has been changed. Now, isn't that one of the Ten Commandments, and you don't change the law of God?
No, we're not changing the law of God. What we're saying is that we are celebrating the Sabbath on the first day of the week because Christ has come as the substance that fulfills the types and shadows. This is the very reason that we no longer use temple, priest, and sacrifice, because the ultimate sacrificial lamb has come. And because the substance has come, we now celebrate the substance rather than the shadow. But that does not change the fact that we set aside one of 7 days to celebrate the rest we have in Jesus Christ.
But, okay, you say that you celebrate it, but it's still, people celebrate it. It's not God that said to celebrate it. Isn't it still on the Ten Commandments, and we should keep the Ten Commandments?
But we need to recognize that civil and ceremonial laws, the laws that are part of a theocratic system, Mosaic law, etc., have been fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And yes, it is right for you to say that the moral aspects of the law are things that have not been abrogated, but we have to recognize that substance comes and shadow is supplanted. And that's why the new covenant is better than the old covenant, because the blood of Jesus Christ is better than the blood of bulls and goats. So it is a dangerous snare to fail to recognize that Jesus is that substance that fulfills the symbol of the Sabbath. And yes, we do continue to celebrate that Sabbath, but on the first day of the week in recognition of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's the bottom line. Again, I've written about this in various places. You can check it out in the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. You can order your copy of the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition on the web at equip.org. You can do so through the mail at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. You can also talk to our resource consultants, 888-7000, and the letter CRI. I'll be right back in just a few moments with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, so please don't touch that dial.
In The Lord of the Rings, Tolkien's character Faramir voices the thoughts of countless soldiers throughout history. War must be, while we defend our lives against a destroyer who would devour all. But I do not love the bright sword for its sharpness, nor the arrow for its swiftness, nor the warrior for his glory. I love only that which they defend. If you too love what together we defend, our faith, biblical truth, and our freedoms, become a member of CRI's support team today by calling 888-7000-CRI. And as our thanks, Hank Hanegraaff will personalize to you a copy of his Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, Revised and Expanded. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit our website at equip.org. That's 888-7000-CRI, or simply visit our website at equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff will be back right after the break. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition is the comprehensive collection of the most often asked questions Hank Hanegraaff has received throughout his four decades as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. With more than 500,000 copies already in print, this newly revised and expanded Collector's Edition helps seekers and skeptics alike sort through the truth on topics such as reliability of the Bible, religions and cults, the resurrection and afterlife, and many more issues vital to a better understanding of God in Christ and our relationship to Him. To receive your copy of the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Expanded, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us at equip.org. The number of wolves surrounding the Christian flock is growing, and they relish nothing more than docile sheep utterly incapable of defending themselves. From militant secularists at home to militant Islamists abroad, the assaults on biblical Christianity are growing dangerously. But Christian Research Institute support team members aren't in favor of feeding these wolves. Instead, each day they're making possible an array of outreaches that defang these wolf packs with solid arguments and evidence that have stood the test of time. What's more, support team members are equipping themselves with CRI's Equipping Essentials, a hand-picked collection of the best apologetics tools around. Your selection of resources are just our way of saying thanks. To learn more about the benefits of membership, simply visit equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making, and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence.
Order Has God Spoken from the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org, equip.org. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Let's go right back to our phone callers. Dr. Brian in Merced, California. Hi, Brian.
Hello, Hank. I'd like to say this is a first-time caller, long-time listener. I have a lot of respect for your radio show. My question is about the book of Revelation and having to do with the number 666 as the mark of the beast. I was wondering whether you think this is actually a literal number, literal or symbolic mark, because there have been some claims out there by, well, mostly on the internet, that the mark of the beast is the RFID chip, radio frequency identification. And I was wondering what your thoughts about that are, if it's really a literal mark or if it's symbolic for something or if there's a meaning behind it.
Well, first of all, recognize that internet lies travel halfway around the world before truth has had the chance to put its boots on. And so the internet is fraught with misinformation and disinformation, and we need to learn as Christians to use discernment skills. And the way we would use discernment skills in this case is to recognize what John, the author of Revelation, wrote. He told a first century audience that with wisdom and insight, they would be able to calculate the number of the beast, for it is man's number. His number is 666. Well, obviously, no amount of wisdom and insight would have enabled a first century audience to calculate the number of a 21st century beast. And it would have been cruel and dangerously misleading for John to suggest to first century Christians that they could identify the beast if, in fact, the beast was a 21st century individual or institution. So if we read John for all he's worth, we recognize that he's telling a first century audience that they are going to be able, with wisdom and understanding, to identify a beast in their midst. And therefore,
yeah, there's also some claims out there, I don't know who it's by, though, that the number 666 calculates as the Roman Emperor Nero.
Well, I think that's a perfectly plausible explanation. In fact, I show in a book called The Apocalypse Code how numbers can be transposed into letters and how, through what is called gematria, you can identify Nero Caesar as the beast that John is identifying in the book of Revelation. And remember that this makes sense because Revelation tells us that the looming apocalypse is on the horizon, that the time is near, and all these things will take place soon. Soon and near mean exactly that, soon and near. So John is warning the seven churches in the province of Asia that there is a looming apocalypse and that they are called to be faithful and fruitful. They'll suffer for a short time, but their vindication will be an eternal vindication.
That's very good. Well, thanks for the insight on that and the answer.
Thank you so much. And of course, paranoid prophecy pundits today are touting Verichip technology as the mark of the beast, spoken of in Revelation 13. But contrary to that kind of newspaper eschatology, there's no biblical basis for believing that the mark of the beast is a silicon microchip. Biblically, the mark of the beast is a parody of the mark of the Lamb. I've explained that many times on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. The mark on the foreheads of the 144,000, or the full complement of God's people in Revelation 14, symbolizes identity with the Lamb. And in the same way, the mark in Revelation 13 symbolizes identity with the beast. And we have to remember that the forehead in the hands of Old Testament believers symbolize the belief and behavior of those believers. In other words, what they believed and how they behaved marked them as either belonging to God or belonging to Satan. And therefore, John's reference to the mark of the beast in Revelation is securely tethered to Scripture. The notion that the mark of the beast is a Sunday worship practice or a Social Security card or a silicon microchip has no biblical basis whatsoever. Therefore, we must renew our minds, be transformed in our minds by learning to mine the Scriptures for all their worth. Let's go back to the phone lines. Next up is Don. He's in Oklahoma. Hi, Don.
How you doing, Hank?
I'm doing fine. Good talking to you.
My question is about, on another day, you were talking about physical and spiritual, and you talked about the fact that you didn't think that God had a literal throne. Well, let me ask you a question. What are you sitting in right now?
I'm sitting in a chair.
Okay. What's the chair made of?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
Looks like plastic.
What I'm trying to point out is this right here, okay? Both of y'all are arguing from a position, but you're not carrying your position to a logical conclusion. And so you're going to be continuously going off on a tangent, so to speak. Now, you tell me if I'm right on this when I'm saying this, okay? Everything in existence is God material. The only thing in existence is God, and therefore God material. If you want to call that spirit, as the Bible does, then okay, you can call it spirit. But then spirit is an anthropomorphic term to help us understand God material. So what you're sitting in right now is actually spirit material reformed, reconstituted in some way. If we don't go to the point or the idea that literally something can come from nothing. Not even God has the power to create something from nothing.
Now, hopefully you're not trying to communicate a pantheistic worldview.
No.
Or a panentheistic worldview.
What I try to define is only something carried to its logical conclusion. You have to carry every proposition to its logical conclusion.
Right, but what you're saying is simply untrue from a biblical standpoint. Creation is brought into existence and sustained by God and is not part of God. The biblical worldview says God created everything ex nihilo, out of nothing.
Right.
And certainly Mormons and others, they contend that matter has coexisted eternally with God. But the opening statement in the Bible says something far different. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and points to the truth that God created everything out of nothing. Let's get to the point that you made at the very beginning, and then we'll get into some of the ramblings later on. The issue here is, do you believe that God has a literal golden throne? Is that what you're suggesting?
Yes.
You are.
But let me explain why, okay? You exist right now, right?
Yes, I do.
Okay. If you exist and your spirit material, okay, and you have to come from God because nothing can
What is spirit material?
Spirit material is God material because nothing can exist outside of God. Nothing can exist outside of God, so everything that is in existence is a reconstitution or a reformed whatever.
Well,
so
I mean, but in all due respect, I mean, evidently you're a very erudite individual, so you know that what you're communicating has nothing whatsoever to do with a biblical worldview. The doctrine of creation ex nihilo rules out the idea that finite realities like time and space and matter emanate from the essence of God. Creation is neither divine nor a derivative of God's essence. But the point here that you started with is a point that I want to drive home. God does not sit on a literal throne. And when the language of Scripture is hijacked by people who do not want to take seriously the literal principle of biblical interpretation, you end up with nonsense. But when the Bible says that there are seven golden lampstands, do you believe that there are actually seven golden lampstands?
When and where are you talking about?
Revelation.
we're at. Where do these lampstands exist at?
Well, this is where John has the vision, and he sees Jesus walking among seven golden lampstands.
Let me answer it with a question.
No. Answer it. Do you believe that
point
when
blank,
Jesus is standing
answer.
Among seven golden lampstands, that he's actually standing amongst seven physically golden lampstands?
Yes.
Okay, well, the Bible says something different. So what I'm trying to point out is that when you do that, you wreak havoc with the Bible's own interpretation, because the Bible says that the seven golden lampstands are seven churches. Not only so, but the Bible also talks about seven golden bowls, and those bowls are full of incense. Well, if you actually take your hermeneutic, you say, well, these are actually seven golden bowls, and they're full of incense. But the Bible contradicts you. The Bible says, no, they are not. The Bible says they are the prayers of the saints. So the point here is that we want to read Scripture in light of Scripture rather than trying to impose a foreign worldview on the Bible, A, and B, interpret the Bible other than the way that the Bible interprets itself. I'm going to have to let you go. I want to thank everybody for tuning in to this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. This ministry could not continue without your prayers and without your financial support. Do be generous. We'll use the resources for God's glory and for the extension of His kingdom. Again, thanks for tuning in. We'll see you right here next time with more of the show.
Thank you for joining us today. Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to defend the faith, answer Bible questions, and encourage Christians to watch their life and doctrine closely. To find resources to help equip you, go to equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call us at 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition is the comprehensive collection of the most often asked questions Hank Hanegraaff has received throughout his four decades as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. With more than 500,000 copies already in print, this newly revised and expanded Collector's Edition helps seekers and skeptics alike sort through the truth on topics such as reliability of the Bible, religions and cults, the resurrection and afterlife, and many more issues vital to a better understanding of God in Christ and our relationship to Him. To receive your copy of the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Expanded, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us at equip.org.